corruption, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
The government is the problem.
Is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time to
catch Jehu's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Nothing?
Yahoo!
There you go. We're back to our old setup, folks. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. All mics are up, guys, just so you know. Anything you say will go out over the air. And it is Tuesday, the 1st of June. Man, this is flying by. 2010, the day after Labor Day. This is the day back to work for a lot of people. We had some weird stuff happening around us. We had a, not relating to anyone of our group here, but there's a reservoir about 5 miles south of us, and some people disappeared in the lake after a boat collision, so unfortunately the holiday Remembrance Day was marred with tragedy. I hope all went well for the rest of you. We had a small listening audience yesterday. A lot of people thought I wasn't going to do a show, but we went ahead and did a show. We did
always
a
little, do show on holidays.
Yeah, I always do shows on holiday. We work every day. I've done Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Even no Dutch Day, you still do a show.
Even no Dutch Day? There's a no Dutch Day?
Yeah, you still did a show there.
Did I? Was there a no Dutch Day?
You still do a show then?
I did a show. I try to do a show. I'd do a show 7 days a week if we had the bandwidth. I'd do two shows a day. I'd do a matinee. I guess this would be a matinee if you're on the West Coast. Well, we come to you Monday through Friday live from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the Pacific Coast here. And then the second hour on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays is also sent out at the same time on Liberty Tree Radio.
Not today.
Huh?
But not today.
But not today.
Here.
Tuesday they have somebody else in that slot, but we're on Liberty Tree Radio those other 4 days. We're getting a much larger participation out of that. I'm getting a lot more emails. I spent today trying to catch up on the emails. It's tough. Everybody's sending me all kinds of good stuff. Some stuff on the Canes. A lot of people were surprised that we talked about that. That was something that was driven by callers. We are a call-in show. This is the modern-day campfire where sheepdogs can collect and gather and swap intel and work things out and maybe find out what's going on in your neck of the woods, and we can tell you what's going on in our neck of the woods, and we can kind of put together a plan. That's what the real purpose of the show is, that we Christian soldiers, we dedicated patriots, you lovers of the Constitution, want to believe in the foundations of this nation. Whatever walk of life you come from, if we share those common grounds, that we're all involved in the holy cause of liberty, we do that. We share. And as always, the phone is open. I don't want to move the camera or anything, but I've got this big beige box thing here. It's a throwaway from a professional radio station, how to do the lines so people can call in. But we only got one line, so I only have to worry about one button.
You didn't get it from a professional radio station.
Well, I think so. Yeah, we did. Don't even go there. It was donated, and we appreciate it. The phone number is 559-561-8225. We're running the video as long as it lets us stay on the air and we don't get too much buffering. You guys can see our scary little room here. You see my giant soundboard. I wish we need another soundboard. This one keeps cutting in and out. We need a small little one. We've got a tiny one that's only, it's really a mic mixer for like the field. But we're trying to get by. Oh, don't tell me someone's calling me. Here, take this over there, Lou. Take the cell phone over there. But you can call in 559-561-8225. As long as it relates to the cause, we'll let you talk. It doesn't have to be what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be something that's current. You can just bring something up. I invite people to call in. I have some emails that I got from some folks saying that on the flotilla that was attacked by Israel, getting a lot of heated back and forth. Some people are mad at me because they think I'm promoting Islam. Some people are mad at me because I'm ignoring, the chosen people. Well, that's all meat to be chewed and the bones spit out, so we can do that too if you want to. It turns out that there may have been a volunteer on one of those ships that's been arrested that was one of the survivors of the USS Liberty. How's that for a poke in the eye?
It's fuzzy math.
It's not math, it's history.
He wouldn't know that.
He wouldn't know that. He wouldn't know the difference. Wait, this one's you over here. Let me turn that one down, then you can talk. Lou, are you there? Mm-hmm. Say hello.
Hello.
No, say it in a normal voice.
Hello.
Okay, there you go. I just want to adjust your mic. So Lou's here. Stacy's not here yet. And we're still stranded. We're having multiple problems with our vehicles. We have somebody that was going to come over and do some muffler work. We got a clogged muffler, all things. No matter how prepared you are, no matter how much you check out your vehicle, Murphy's Law applies to survival. One of the things we've been doing here as a church, and we've told you guys that, I'm going to hold it up for a second here. We're all reading Patriot. Some of us are rereading it. And as I go through this book, it jogs my memory of things that I've either stashed away and kind of forgotten about, out of sight, out of mind, things I need to work on. And, so it's going to really relate to the show. And the author, James Wesley Rawls, has a great website. And it's...
Give me the pen.
Survivalblog.com. Give you the pen.
Yeah, because you said a great website.
You don't need the pen. I see your loose associations, but I just don't get them. So it's survivalblog.com, lots of good stuff there. I didn't get into it too much yesterday because we had some callers kind of redirect the show, but that's okay. I'm going to yawn. That's one bad thing about having the camera on. Now Lou's yawning, that whole monkey cage thing. You know, I can turn down my pot if I have to sneeze or cough or even yawn, but the camera's on. So if I, go to touch my nose, it's going to look like I'm picking my nose. So, I don't know. We'll try this camera thing out. Somebody in there said it lends credibility and trust and trustworthiness. I don't know. See there, I just yawned. I'm getting the delayed feed over here. I just saw myself yawn, and it's triggering me to yawn again. Isn't that funny? I just made myself yawn through time and space with delay. Now, don't yawn and look at me.
I got to yawn.
Get under the table. That's it. Get under the table. But we had our emergency response families meeting. We decided to call it that. Now, that's something I wanted to talk about. A lot of people say, well, you should be bold and you should be out there and you should be, flying your flag in their face. But we kind of came to a consensus in the group that we want to be, as Sun Tzu said and even Jesus said, we want to be as, act like doves, but be ready to strike. So we came up with the emergency response families group, and we're all going to put
dove-like.
In. And huh?
That's dove-like.
Dove-like sounds very dove-like. We're trying to do more of a ministry with it. That's because we have a Christian worldview. Now, most militias out there have shut their doors to recruiting now, and there's nothing wrong with that. They know they're doing what's right for their group. But we've decided to make it a ministry, a Christian outreach. And along with our FM 93.3, we just got word that they're shipping the power supply tomorrow. I guess they make them one at a time. I guess that's how hippies do business, because we're getting it from Free Radio Berkeley or Radio Free Berkeley.
Put it together, then had a pot.
Yeah, they put it together, smoke a doobie, get smashed for the rest of the year. It's just the way it goes. We ordered it like 12 days ago, and I said, yeah, we've been kind of waiting. And they said, oh, it'll ship tomorrow, man. Really? So... hopefully it really will. Here comes another yawn. Don't look, Lou, because then you'll send it back to me. Don't send the yawn back to me, man. See, contagions. We're doing a little experiment here in contagions. I used to go to the zoo when I was a kid and yawn at the monkeys and the gorillas to get them to yawn.
It's worse than
losing their lost souls and their olimas.
A bunch of guests in there.
A bunch of guests. It's funny, those guests have been in there all day. I can only assume that a couple of them are alphabet agencies that are just recording everything we do. But that's okay. They need to hear the gospel, and they need to hear the truth, too. They need to make certain that they understand exactly what we're doing, right? We're not doing anything illegal. So, back to the book Patriots. One of the things that I forgot about, and it's funny because I come from a military background, in the book, how militaristic it was. At first, I thought it was just a bunch of, civilians that got together, and I remembered it as that. I didn't remember, them talking about the military structure within their security system and in their, their division of labor and all that kind of stuff. I honestly thought that my memory of it was that it was just regular folks doing stuff. But the importance of, one, clarifying to everyone, especially in a survival situation, everyone's going to be... Thanks for the flag. Yeah, we got one in the background hanging behind me.
The fan should be pointed at it so it weighs.
Yeah, we just put the flag. We'll put the fan on it so it weighs. Up front, the people that you decide to survive with, you've got to do what I call the Winnebago test. If you can't spend 72 straight hours in a Winnebago with somebody, and you're going to be at each other's throats, they're going to irritate you, every little sound they make, the way they eat their food, the way they you know, take blink. Care of themselves, they blink too much or not enough, you've got to do some dry runs before you decide that these people are going to be in your cave, in your stronghold, in your retreat, in your garrison. You've really got to have a come to Jesus moment. You got to put all of your little pet peeves on the altar if you don't have a choice in it. Or you could, I personally wouldn't chase somebody off just because I don't like the way their goatee looks. But
their hair looks.
But trust me, coming from a military unit background, I can't think of a squad, a platoon, a company I was in that there weren't these rivalries that were just founded in nonsense. There were people in my life that I've had to work with that I just hated them and I didn't know why. Just, you know, I don't know if it was out of jealousy or they're the boss's pet, but those kind of things are going to detrimentally affect a survival group. Because we deal, you know, most of the other guys talk about larger stuff, the bigger militias. We're small. We're really small. So we're talking more about family size stuff. So in the first meeting, when you get these people together, you know, these candidates, I talked yesterday about getting their medical personnel, their medical information, their next of kin, that kind of information on a card, you know, and you have a person assigned to keeping track of that. But also, along with their skills and their gifts and everything like, you know, that they're going to share, ask them, who are you going to show up with? Yeah, Lewis doesn't have a beard anymore. It was just bugging me. He kept fiddling with his beard. Keep getting food stuck in it, and it was just birds were living in it. It was disgusting. So we held him down one day, took a machete, and got rid of that beard. Yeah, general human tribalism. Lost Soul says in there, you living on an island together, you're gonna want to hack each other's heads off. But I have people say, tell me who you're gonna show up to the front gate with, because we can make all the rules we want. It's just husband, wife, and the kids. Reality is, what happens if Aunt Flo is over? What happens if Uncle Ned is visiting that weekend when the balloon goes up?
If Aunt Donette's.
Where's your Aunt Donette? You got an aunt named Donut? Or Yonette or something? What if they're visiting? What if it happens in the holidays and your whole family's there? Are we going to turn people away? No, we have to build contingency plans for them. My situation, I have an ex-wife who was holding my beautiful daughter captive. She shows up at the front gate with her new husband and his son. Are we going to accommodate that, or are we going to come up with an SOP that says, no, you're done. Thank you for bringing my daughter. You know, odds are I'm going to see it escalating, and I'm going to go get my daughter first. But you've got to come up with these things. So you need to know what expectations your group members have. If you don't define it now, when we have the ability to negotiate these things in a little more civilly, before it's in a crisis mode, you got to do it. You've got to come up with codes of conduct of every person. Duties, assignments. It's going to be along the lines of the Mayflower Compact. Everybody works, unless they're injured. Right? You know? And some people say, well, that sounds like communism. No. It is capitalism. One, they should be bringing their base supplies already with them or have them stashed ahead of time. Pre-staging and materials are important. That's the next thing you want to ask your group. Then you go, yeah, I like what he says, you better take them all or you're no better than elite. As Christians, we're not going to turn people away if they're loved ones that have an attachment. And if they have skills, too. We get to pick and choose. We could have an interview process as they come to the front gate. Really? You're a machinist? Oh, you're an armorer? Oh, you're a dentist? Yeah, come on in. Bring your family. So you better store extra stuff to help pay the way, because it's capitalism, folks. It's capitalism. I was going somewhere when I lost my train of thought there. You know, I talk about the gift packs and all that kind of stuff. But we've got to decide now and have all the rules. What happens if you catch somebody falling asleep on guard duty? Do you then say, okay, you're going to get shot? Wait a minute, we never discussed this. You can't shoot me for sleeping on guard duty. You never told me that. So everybody should have to sign this agreement before you even start collecting stuff. The other thing is, do you charge dues? One of the groups I was in, we all put in $25 a month. Doesn't sound like much, but it sure built up fast. And it allowed us to buy things like a trailer that had a portable shower on it, a portable bathroom on it, so one guy could tow that, and all the women were happy. No, don't take them all. You must be select. That's what I'm saying here. Yeah, Minuteman is saying that. You have to decide which ones are going to fit the goals of your group, not overweigh your resources. If you're reading in Patriots, there was a guy who came up that was a machinist. They let him come in. The rest, they said, here's some food, here's some ammo, move on your way. You can't take everybody in. You get it? And I told you my lifeboat scenario. You're in that lifeboat with your family, limited supplies. You're going to let all the rats climb in and take it over? No. That's not going to happen.
Train the rats.
Train the rats to row. Yeah, you can see me? Good. I'm glad people can see me. I don't know. So you've got to come up with rules to live by. You have to come up with a hierarchy. I like in the book Patriots where they vote on everything. It's not a democracy. No, not really a democracy. It's not necessarily mob rule. But you can come to some... When you're all on the same side, it's not a Hegelian dialect because you all the goal is common. So there's no false debate going on here. You have to set a set of minimums. Everyone has to come, you know, I'm just going to start from the basics. Everyone has to come with food for their family. They pre-stage stuff, that's okay. And the other thing could be everyone has to have a weapon. Everyone has to be trained like we have here. That's one of our requirements. If you want to live in this facility, you have to take at least one class a year. Because they're expensive, we understand that. You have to have so much ammo stored. You have to have your own medical kits. You have to have your own supply of food. We do have communal food, the bulk storage stuff. But every family is responsible for its own cooking, pots and pans. We're not going to do communal cooking. That's one thing that's going to be different from Patriots. Because we're going to be a little bit bigger, I think, just because of the size of our facility. Whereas we're only a couple dozen people now. There are people that have long supported the cause here that have moved in. See, that's where I went. I went to swat away a fly, and it looks like I picked my nose. So having this camera on is a bad thing. I got to hide behind the mic.
Like this, go.
Scratch my nose. They won't see it. I want to turn it on Lou. He's over there, like, digging for gold. Rocky Hill, tell Rabbit thanks. I appreciate the donation. Again, the phone number is 559-561-8225 if you want to chime in on these things and tell me what your group is doing or what you would do if you were in a group. What are you bringing to the table? Those types of things. Then we have to come up with punishments. Ostracize, capital punishment, extra duty. I like the extra duty thing for less. Hey, Jaws of Life is here. And with the extra duty thing for less, you know, I'm not talking about pilfering or stealing or something like that, but, you know, you come up, like they didn't finish an assignment on time. Guess what? You have latrine duty. For those of you that have never been in the military or a missionary or had to live in the backwoods, a lot of ways that you can store or dispose of human waste, you know, there's a whole science behind it. It's critically essential to the health of
no floggings
of the group. I'll get to floggings in a little bit. I have an opinion on that. So we would use 50-gallon drums cut in half, 55-gallon drums cut in half, build an outhouse facility around them, and then when somebody had extra duty, they had to go out there with these hooks, pull the drums out, pour in some material, and burn off the waste. Well, we're not going to waste precious fuel to do that. We're going to have to carry those to some type of composting system and mix them with different things. We wouldn't use them on human food, but there's all kinds of stuff. You can make food gas, whatever.
Unless you're trying to poison the food.
Yeah, listen. So the extra stuff, the extra duty, there's all kinds of miserable things you can do. Backbreaking work. I'm working on the bucket contest, Minuteman. I'm actually waiting. We're waiting for a new credit card to come in because we're going to have to buy your prizes for you guys. And it seems like every other month someone violates our checking account. We have to close it and open up another one. It's them. They're doing it. I see a bucket behind him.
Right,
that's my trash can. I got two buckets, one inside the other one for a big, tall trash can. Yeah, so that's what that bucket is. So you got to do it. Someone in the chat room said, what about floggings? Well, if somebody stole from another member, if somebody bared false witness and, you know, those kinds, she was an agitator, you may flog them. You know, you never know. But I'm going to tell you something here. When it gets into the more serious things, like stealing, pilfering, hoarding of materials that are communal, you can't ostracize the people, because you know why? They're going to go out there, they're going to get picked up by renegades or something, and they're going to say, wait, don't kill me. I know where there's a stronghold that you guys can get into, and I can help you get in. We've come to the conclusion that anyone that violates the security, trust, in a major way is going to get shot. And when our pastor said that to somebody who we had to kick out of the group because he kept causing problems, he said, look, right now, we just have a disagreement. Right now, we're out here yelling at each other. Right now, you know, the only thing we're doing is hurting each other's feelings and maybe breaking up some friendships. However, if martial law was an attack and we were fighting for our lives and you kept refusing these duties, you would be shot. And the guy looked at me and I said, and I'd be the one shooting you. That would be my job as sergeant at arms. And he quit the church a couple of weeks later.
I'm lying with you.
Yeah, and then Lou pointed at me and goes, he'll do it.
I've seen him.
I wouldn't do it willfully, but I would do it. I would do it to protect the group, to protect our emergency response families. Because we've taken the diligence, sworn an oath between ourselves and God that we would be diligent in this and not take the low road. The problem is that, definitely. And of course, if there are outsiders that come in, you show no mercy. You fly the black flag for raiders, rapists, all that. You know, you do your best to stay off the beaten path so that they don't come, but it's their choice. You're not the one deciding to pull that trigger. I know that sounds contrary to what I say. They made that decision when they violated the security of your facility, when they used force to come in to take your things and hurt your people, and that's just the way it goes. Authority in these situations should be shared, but you need to have one leader. If you have a panel, you know, we'll get into the problems that we have today in America. Everybody just, you know, hemming and hawing. So from the early beginnings, you have to come up with a system for leadership, even if it's rotating. But one person has the final word, especially on tactical decisions and decisions of questions of life and stuff. I got 5 minutes to go ahead and queue up everything so you're ready to go. When you get to 29, just start playing the music really low, and then that way I'll know. We don't have to live like savages just because the world has fallen apart. The quicker we restore order in our hearts and our groups, the quicker order will be restored in whatever nation arises out of what's coming down the pike here in the next few decades. I say if you catch looters and cannibals, you hang them in a place and label them looters and cannibals. I remember I was watching Return to Lonesome Dove or something like that, and these bandits were going around killing farmers and setting them on fire and doing horrible, brutal things. And the guys, the typical characters from Lonesome Dove, caught them. And one of them was a friend of theirs. And he was going along to get along. He didn't want to do it, but he went along. But either way, he was still guilty. They hung him and just put up there that they were rapists, bushwhacking, you know, that kind of stuff, as a warning to others and a security to God-fearing people. Because as long as God-fearing people know that there are men like you and I and women out there that are willing to stand up in the gap for the Lord and for justice and for the law, it'll make good people feel better, and they'll work harder to restore. And it'll strike fear into the hearts of these people. You know, it's just like the Tower of London. They'd stick heads on it. You know, that's tyranny, but it would send a message. Don't mess with the Queen. Don't mess with the King. We're going to use it for good. Stocks, those kind of things, why not? Work for our Puritan forefathers. I know this is going to freak a lot of people out, but this is the way I think. Back to the basics. Back to the original way that this country was settled. It worked great for a while, for you know, 1605 to about 1865. So we had a good run there. And we got to go back to those systems. Again, you know, we've got plans here. We're going to instill a sheriff elected among our men. It's all volunteer, you know. And there'll be deputies. There'll be a fire chief. We're trying to get a fire truck because we have a pretty big community here that we have to take care of. We are small in number.
Wouldn't that smell bad?
But everybody else that's around us, you know, the sheep that are out there, and the people that are going to come to us, because, like, if you come to our conference, you're going to see how big we really are. But permanent party members here on this facility is small. There has to be a way that you all decide to bring in a new member. You have to have a system. I'm talking after the fall. Probationary system. Say, hey, just flat out tell them you're here for 6 months. You work out, you stay. Doesn't work out, we give you all the food and water you can carry, and we send you on your merry way with a bicycle or whatever you came in with. But now's the time to plan these things. Before Hutari happened, I was talking about political stuff and how to plan for the rebuilding and legislation and all that. Now I'm just talking tactically, and I hope you see the change. And I hope you understand why I switched. After the break, I'm going to ask you guys, I want to get your opinions on this. You need to call in. Tell me, what do you think a modern survival group, what is important to them? Sometimes we talk about procurement of materials and selection of location, but I'm talking about the head thinking stuff. What do you do?
529.
So as we get closer to the break here, we're going to be back, and just we'll play a song and play one of the commercials to promote our stuff. And don't forget to go looking for Sawyer water filters on eBay and look for Stacy. You'll see Stacy. Buy a water filter from her. We'll be back right after this. Go ahead and bring it up.
See them foreign troops in ninja suits,
leaving imprints of their combat boots in the meadow down near the neighbor next to me. For they're building concentration camps from the rate hike off our postage stamps to protect and defend their great democracy. Though my vote in the last election didn't quite match the same projection made by those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain, and I asked them to explain, they just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority. Yeah, sure. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense a hypocrisy, as they call it democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Now they've got microwaves and laser beams and rays to look inside your dreams and satellites that can see your DVDs. They got chips that fit inside your head that'll make you think their thoughts instead, and drugs that'll make you do just as they please. And to make things even more serious, they got strains of new bacteria that are surely to cause some unknown new disease. And that's why we got fear and high anxiety and paranoid perplexity and the gradual loss of all our liberties. And as they try to bring us all down, they might leave us with a frown. They might even be the source of all the rumors in this town. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense a hypocrisy, as they call it democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Our mail and all our incoming phone calls to the Central Intelligence Agency. We'll just hope and pray someday they'll see that you and me are not the enemy, nor do we believe in cult theology.
As their police try to bust us, we'll keep trying to find some justice, though it's hidden behind a wall of masonry. We'll keep working out our salvation with the feeling of fear and trembling, hoping and praying someday the truth might set us all free. Now just cause the media won't respond don't mean there's nothing going on. And brother, what'll you do if there's something to all the words inside this song? Well, you can say that I'm wild-eyed, that all my fears are unjustified, or that I'm totally mystified by a man who's crucified. But just between you and me, what hung him up on that tree? It was all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. It's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Believe me.
It's the third time I've said that.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 15-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, full of them. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order,
a new world order,
a new
attention.
World order, a new world
order.
Attention!
Government
is an emergency! Repeat! An emergency!
I'm not gonna stand for this. I'm gonna call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Taps! Jones!
Radio program!
And now for something completely different.
Everybody loves you, and so do I.
It's good to have you back, Lou, and your own self. You're actually paying attention. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're embarking on our second half hour of 4 half hours, being 2 hours complete. Today being Tuesday, we're not going to be on Liberty Tree Radio. We'll just be our little, you know, intimate little group here on UBroadcast, DutchJones.tk, MySpace, and my Facebook page. I was so happy to see Code 3's name in there. It's good to have you back, brother. We used to be able to listen a lot before. I don't know how it's going in your consortium there, or consortium, or however you say it, but things have gotten scary around here, so we're just doubling our efforts. So it's good to see someone from our neck of the woods. I mean, you're 8 hours away or so, but we've got Minuteman from Southern California. We've got Jaws of Life from way up north there. Rocky Hill Ranger, I can probably throw a large, he's too far away to throw a rock with our trebuchet on him. Who else we got in there? We got, of course, where'd he go? Did Lost Soul disappear? No, Lost Soul's there. I know he's not too far away. A whole bunch of guests. I'm assuming Flora Dave is from Florida. Or maybe that's just your name. I mean,
his name might be.
Why not? Yeah. My parents wanted to name me some weird stuff, too. But it's good to have you all aboard. I want to thank you all. We had, I think it was 365 new unique listeners for the month of May. And that was pretty good.
Save one a day in a year.
So you guys, you're drawing attention to this show. I appreciate that. Those of you that are doing that, keep it up. Those of you that aren't, just try to get two people a month to listen. When we left First Amendment Radio over the censorship issue, We weren't really sure how many listeners we were having. He would give me numbers and kind of fudge a little bit here and there. But since we switched over to Liberty Tree Radio and our own U broadcast, the email, I get tons of email from all over the world. I get people, I check in the middle of the day today, like at noon, and there were like seven people 2000. In here listening to the rebroadcast. What was that?
2,000.
Well, I'd like to have 2,000 listeners. It would be good. So it's good to have you back, Code 3. I hope you can visit some more. We have a lot of people that work shift work, especially our public safety listeners, and they come home, and that's why it's better here on U-Broadcast. They can just sit down, grab their Cheerios, and listen whenever they want.
Dilly-dally.
They can dilly-dally, and they can, you know, just get comfortable and listen to it. Because that was a complaint, even though they played it a lot on First Amendment Radio and Liberty Radio Live. But I think this was, you know, time has proven, because it's only been 30, 40 days since the breakup. I think it was better for us to be switched over. Now, getting back to it, we're talking about unit security, unit cohesiveness, and how to build a good foundation now so that later you won't be at each other's throats, there won't be any misunderstandings, and you can work out all the kinks ahead of time so that when the boots hit the ground, they can start running instead of tripping all over each other. And the way you do that is have some training sessions with everyone, not just the Marshall people. Everyone in your survival group. You know, it's not even a militia. It's just the husbands and wives, the children, the grandma, the aunts, the pool boy if she wants to bring them along, whoever. Whoever you agree upon is the body, you know, of this unit, this group. You have to start having meetings. You have to. I love the thought of going camping with everybody, bring their gear, and you give them tasks. Things are going to make them a little edgy, so you can see people's breaking points. They're how easily embarrassed they are for taking. You know, do they not take criticism? Do they freak out if you tell them they're doing something wrong? Are they the guy who knows everything and he doesn't want to get any advice? Are they the tech geek who has everything high tech you could possibly imagine? And you're not going to see this shakeout until you put a little bit of stress on them. So you can come up with games, tactics, different things. We'll be having a pistol class, and suddenly the instructor will say, I need a fire. You got 5 minutes. Whoever gets the fire first gets a prize. No, we don't have any water in the pool. We got a rock pool. We just use it. But we can filter that water. It's more of a cistern than a pool, Rocky Hill Ranger. Yeah, a militia survivor show. There you go. Who do we vote out of the compound today? Well, I don't like Susie. She took 2 extra Ritz crackers above her ration. You're a liar, Ethel! You saw nothing! You weren't even there when I stole the Ritz crackers!
Going back to my hotel room.
Going back to my hotel room. No, that's Bear Grylls from that Survivor show. You're talking about the Island Survivor. But yeah, have some fun with it. You know, up until now, we just did it, you know, once or twice a year, but I'm going to do it every month now. We're going to have a drill weekend, and we'll be able to see who falls out. We've already had, and I hate to tell you this, a person this Sunday thought I came on a little too strong, thought we were going in the wrong direction, and yesterday she started packing. She's still packing today, taking her kids and gone. That's okay. I admire her for doing that now rather than after the thing and then whining and complaining. Right? So how are you going to know? How are you going to squeeze these people? Just a little bit, a gentle squeeze, to see what pops out first. Do they throw a fit? Do they not handle stress well? And even if, you know, the love of your heart says, well, we're not going to throw them out, but we're not going to give them anything important to do. We'll have them work in logistics, and they just have to keep inventorying stuff. But we don't want this kind of person at the front gate because...
Watch that rock over there.
Yeah, have them paint rocks. Is that what you're saying?
No, watch that rock.
Watch that rock over there. See, I couldn't even do that with you, Lou. You'd fall asleep. You fell asleep in Sunday's meeting.
Well, not in the...
14 times, I counted. In 2 hours, you fell asleep 14 times. Sorry. Sorry. I don't mean... But calling you out in public about it, maybe it'll make you try a little harder. I have my flaws, too, you know. I am one of those guys that likes to procrastinate. I love the pressure of the last minute. I don't know why. I like throwing stuff together. I am not a detail-oriented guy. I mean, I don't know if you can see on the webcam, but there are cables going everywhere. If you see the trash can, I don't know. I'm trying to look at it.
It looks like a mess.
It's a mess, but it works for me. It works for me. Lou needs coffee. Oh, man, we gave him a couple too many sodas yesterday, and he heard how that went. I finally gave him back his microphone. He was all mad he didn't have a microphone. Say hello, Lou. See. He's going to get his own webcam tomorrow.
Hi.
He lets Bush do all of his talking. There you go. They're saying we love you, Lou, of course.
Good morning.
So, you like Bush, Lou? You're like a...
No.
You let him do all your talking for you? That's Adolf Hitler. Take that off. I don't want Adolf Hitler on here.
I'm going to let him do my talking.
Yeah. People think we're a left-leaning show. We play Hitler on here. I don't think we're Fabian socialists or something.
I'm Barack Obama, wild-eyed socialist.
Okay, that's enough. He'll sit there for hours and not do anything, and then he just starts hitting the space bar. Oh, this one. Oh, here's one.
No, it's not a space bar. He's got to click it.
He's gone click mad. And you need accountability before the balloon goes up. You have to, like my pastor said Sunday, he says, okay, when we decide everybody's duties, remember, you have to dedicate, you may have to say, I can commit 4 hours a week to preparing for the common good, not just my family. Family's 24/7. But you need to get people to say, okay, like, I'm in charge of communications. I do more than, because he said like an hour a week. I do more than an hour a week. So some tasks require more, some require less. Like if we have people that just want to tend our garden, go around picking the bugs off of everything because we're not going to use pesticides, and to keep the deer out, you know, it's just, you know, it's a little easier task, you know. So they may spend, you know, 2 hour shifts doing it, or they could be out there all day. Yeah, they could be out there all day long, you know, making sure, working like 6 hour shifts. Give them something else to do. Have them peeling potatoes. Have them, you know, popping the primers out of expended brass where they're sitting out there in their lawn chair with the umbrella on and a pellet gun making sure the birds don't eat our fruit. Right? Division of labor is going to be critical because I think the most common argument that is going to arise is people saying, so-and-so is not pulling his weight, and I'm doing twice as much. So-and-so showed up 5 minutes late for guard duty, and, you know, that's not cool. So you've got to nip those things in the bud. You have to have a counselor. It's probably going to be our pastor, where if you have a confrontation or a difference with somebody, you can go to your unit commander, whatever the chain of rank is, chain of command is. Hey, Bosco 74. So we can then bring it before Christ and say, look, I got a problem with my brother here. Let's work it out. Because let me tell you something. When you get the whole world out there trying to eat us alive, our differences really don't amount to much, unless we've got a real bad actor in here. Tab. How about Fresca? Anybody still drink Fresca?
In the Congo.
In the Congo, they have it. There I was. In the Congo. Yeah, I was an 80s kid. I was a preteen in the 70s. But so you've got to work these things out. You have to put them on paper. They have to be agreed upon. And I would say, just like the Declaration of Independence or the Mayflower Compact or whatever great document you want to bring up, they need to be signed by all the party members. And when you get somebody new in there, when you bring in somebody new, they get a briefing on it and they get showed it. What we have here, we have a series of videos that we show people. We have a series of books that we ask people to read before we invite them in. We want to make sure that we have the same mindset. I don't want to say paradigm because paradigm locks you in, but have the same mindset. You know, because we get people up here, we get folks coming up that are Christian identity that think that only white people can be saved. You know, we're just like, in fact, the pastor sent them walking. I think other than the conference, you know, where it's an open invitation, I think they could come and sit in the back and listen. But the minute they open their mouth and start handing out Christian identity stuff, he asks them to leave. It's just no good. You know, and if we had like acting sodomites coming in, he'd kick them out. That kind of thing. We haven't ostracized anybody here. I don't think people usually leave on their own accord because they just see they don't want to be part of the team. They don't want to be rowing in the same direction. And because we're bare bones about it, we don't put on a facade. We don't play games. You say, look, you're either with us or you're not. You know, I hate to sound like Bushy, El Presidente, but that's the way it is. We've got a lot of different views here in our church. We've got people that are dispensationalists even, and I always make fun of them. I make fun of the dispensationalists. They're sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back, and they don't want to, you know, they figure, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and wait to be raptured. But we get along on the other 90% of the gospel, so we take care of that. I can't think. We don't have any liberals, of course. I mean, liberals go to church too, or, you know, and they, you know, they have faith. But I don't know of any that go to our church. We do have a couple of people that show up and never do anything. They just there for the Sunday service. They show up late and they leave early. They don't stick around for chow. They don't stick around for any of the training.
I think they would stick around for chow.
Well, yeah, everybody sticks around for the free meal though, but they don't. I'm talking about the people sitting in front of me all the time. Nice couple.
Oh.
He's asked a couple of questions like, you know, are you guys anti-taxation? Are you guys anti-government? No, we're not anti-government, anti-taxation. We just believe in just governments. Let's see. Some of us have the means to help. Yeah, some people don't have the means to participate. Someone posted in there. All we ask is that you give the best that you can. Bosco 74 in there being an idiot. Look at that. Religion is the elixir of the weak. Stupidity is the blindfold of the retarded. There you go.
Like, what direction?
Yeah, he's probably one of those agitators likes to come in. Religion is the elixir of the weak.
I'm going to kick him.
Yeah, kick them out. Ignorance is the excuse of the retarded. They're like, I don't want to know anything. And we understand that people can't come up here all the time. In fact, there's more people that support this church that live miles away that don't come on Sundays but get copies of the sermons. There are people here that support this church that haven't been here in 10 years, but their heart is still here. You know me, I'll have my toothbrush stand on the corner raking in the bucks, Jaws of Life. I'm actually glad you said that, Jaws of Life, because I was going to get into the economy. When you've got one, two, or three layers of your gear purchased, bought, stored away, right? Now you start buying the extra stuff that you're going to use for barter. See, for us, we don't have a whole lot of money. So we try to buy three of everything, you know, because there's me, Lou, Stacy, and then I have my daughter who's tiny and small and she gets some things. But we also buy extra. There's a guy up here, and I know I've told the story before, he's the toilet paper king of Kauai. All he can do is buy toilet paper. He has a barn full of toilet paper, paper towels, wet wipes. Recording again, we're back. Yeah, Firefox has got some glitches in it too, but it's much better than Explorer, we found. It's just what we got to bear with. You know, it's only going to get worse too, especially when they really find out what we're doing here. We'll get more attacks, more and more and more and more and more. So, means of production, convert your FRNs. Let's put it this way. Hopefully everybody's back and you guys are hearing it live or whatever. It says I'm live. I'm hearing it live through my feedback loop here. Phone number is 559-561-8225. Call me after the hour and we can talk about what you're buying now. What do you think people should buy? I want to talk, and this is controversial. We got a lot of people in our group that like to buy gold and silver. They buy these like $20 gold coins and all that kind of stuff. But I would say buy the junk stuff. And that's what's recommended by James Wesley Rawls at survivalblog.com. It's what I've done. You buy dimes, nickels, those kind of things that are pre-64, I think, that have silver in them. If people want to take money, they want to take something that's silver. They're not going to take paper. Those FRNs are just going to be kindling or maybe hanging on the wall as a joke. You know, how everybody puts their first dollar up? We'll be putting our last dollars up. So we've got to come up with a way of trade. Before that, I broke off there. We're talking about toothbrush, hygiene, that kind of stuff. Those things that people will forget about to collect but will run out fast will have a huge value. I think 22 shells will be like nickels, quarters, or dimes. You know, you'll have to... So buy a bunch of 22 shells. Even if you don't have a 22, every time you get some money, if you're getting your money from the government like I do, or your spouse is working, go out and buy 500 rounds. Oh, Ray Stevens, yeah. Ray Stevens is hilarious. Yes, I did see that, Jaws of Life. Thank you for sending that. No, the room has not crashed. Tell people to reset, Lou. There's still people that don't know the system and how it works. If you're a sole person, you know, it's a little easier to buy extra stuff for. Buy two or three of everything because you can use it for barter. For me, it's backpacks. Whenever I go to a secondhand store and find decent packs, I'm not talking about the garbage ones you get like at that little Hello Kitty place at the mall. I'm talking about packs that somebody's used their whole life and they donated it to Salvation Army or something. You know, internal frame packs. I buy those. They'll be $4 or $5 and I'll stash them under our bed. We have at least 4 or 5 packs per person. But I can trade somebody for that. When somebody comes and say, hey, you know, we've got this backpack, what do you need? You know those little, and this is something that Jaws of Life got into on one of our shows when we had her on, the oral hygiene stuff, the rinses, the toothpicks with the little flossing thing on it. Get all the floss you can get now. All the floss you can get now. you want to be able to either give those things out in care packages or they'll save your life. Oral hygiene, gum hygiene, all that will get you killed in a primitive situation. You want to know why life expectancy was so short during the time of the American Revolution? It was because teeth. And there's this certain homeopathic connection between the teeth and the rest of the body. You know what? We've been here. Lost Soul just says there were two sonic booms over his house. We're not hearing them right now. Maybe we got headphones on. But there have been jets hitting their afterburners all day. I've been hearing sonic booms. We've had helicopter traffic, not focused on us, but passing over us here in the Sierra Nevadas in Central California. So we've noticed that. We've kind of put together in our intel meeting that maybe they're moving all those Russians too, because there were large Sea Stallion-type helicopters that were rumored to have come up from the San Diego area after the Russians disembarked from their craft. So they're probably going somewhere for training. I know that there's a, is it Fort Lewis is up there? There's a ranger school up there. So any of you people in Washington, Oregon, Northern California, you know, you start seeing these things, let us know. Send me some email. We're just seeing a lot of chess pieces being moved around.
Do I get to go to Fort Lewis for free?
No, Lewis doesn't get to go to Fort Lewis for free. So I don't know where they're taking these troops, why they're flying escorts. Yes, that was confirmed, Code 3. It is 100%. The troops were offloaded. I have 5 individual reports from people in San Diego. 2 were media. 3 were unrelated individuals in different militias. That Russian troops were being offloaded. It was the 21st through the end of last month, 21st to 31st, right in there. And nobody knows where they went. But then in the next couple of days, we saw these big, large transport helicopters flying up the, you know, what would be the 99 freeway. Does the 99 come all the way up to where you're at, Code 3? I don't know. But I'm just assuming. With caution, that it's just some kind of NATO joint training thing that they may be doing at Fort Lewis. So the confirmation, yeah, we have it. Cornkey's talking about it. It was in the newspaper articles. I don't know about USM, but they were on AWRM. There was some stuff on there. So it goes all the way to Chico. We have some people in Chico up there, too, but he's not listening today, I see. But I just assume it's a NATO training thing. Some of the other stuff that's been going on that we're getting weird here. You guys, hey, I just found a ton of money in my pocket.
It's mine.
Oh, this is from working yesterday.
Woohoo!
Hey, look at that. Whacking weeds for 3 hours. No taxes taken out. I forgot that was in there. Now, where was I? I'm going to take it kind of on a different note here. When we come back, I'll talk about it. We're coming up on a break.
But that Christians in war song.
Yeah, all the oil that's being dumped in the Gulf is evaporating up into the atmosphere, and the benzene parts per million is coming up really high in the Caribbean. Now, benzene is not something you want to be breathing in. Russia is not part of NATO, but they're talking about joining, remember? There's kind of a loose tangent handshake there. Okay, I got 1 minute. Go ahead and play the music, Lou. We'll fade out under music. Just bring it up slow. But the concern is that if the air gets too unhealthy to breathe, now this is one of those far out, you know, kind of things. Will Homeland Security declare it unsafe for people on the Gulf Coast and then evacuate people? Something to think about. Again, when we come back, call in. Going to a break.
Live.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
A brand new day!
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, boom! We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention!
World order.
Attention!
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
catch Jeff Lewis.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Hey, we're back. Stacy's here. I told you guys a couple of days ago they shut down our post office, which they didn't actually shut the whole thing down. What they did was they limited services. So in our mailbox, we get this piece of paper that tells us we have a package. It's a notebook. Talk about cheesy from the U.S. Postal Service. It says, you have a bulky package, a large part. I know what it is. It's a scope.
Come get your...
Yeah, it's like, meet me here at 11 o'clock tomorrow or come to the main post office down the hill.
Come get your scope. Oh, I wasn't supposed to write
okay, that. Jones of Life, talk to you later. I'll check out that link later and go take some mom time. We're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. Boy, it's going slower today. This is the second hour, the third half hour of the four half hour cavalcade of fun. Comedy and fun. And Stacy's going to go out to one of the front computers to jump there into the chat room so she can say
hi. White bucket, you're still on camera.
Yeah, you're still on camera. You got to get past the white bucket.
That's a blind spot.
She's dancing. Oh, boy. So, yeah, I put up the post for the stuff with the Russians. I've got other ones. I got stuff from everybody on that thing. So, hopefully, Code 3 saw that in the chat room. I posted it in there from the Intel Hub. What is that?
That's
I hear Harleys.
Frank.
Great. The Harleys are back. Okay, folks. Phone number is
559-561-8224.
No. Come on, give it. What? Give it in English. Don't speak Spanish. Give it in English.
8225.
Yeah. 561.
8225.
Yeah. 559-561-8225.
8225.
Don't speak Spanish on my radio show, unless you're mocking it.
I am.
We are in English only radio
station. I
don't speak
English.
I've got some other articles from San Diego, Rocky Hill. I'll bring them up. You guys do the research, too. Just put Russian troops in San Diego and start reading all the connections there, man. Don't believe me. I'm not even giving you my real name.
It's really bomb.
But, yeah, the Russians are here. I think it's just a joint training thing. I know that there's been some talk about bringing Russia into NATO. I know they don't do much with the UN. And with all the saber rattling in Korea, now this stuff with Israel doing piracy. Although today they backed off a little bit. Did you notice that? They're like, hey, we may have been wrong. We may have not handled this right. The one thing that I learned that was a little scary is one of the links, I can't confirm it, so don't take this as gospel, but there was a survivor from the USS Liberty on board. I was supposed to have a caller call in today to talk about it, but I don't see him in the room. He sent me an email saying, I want to come on your show and talk about this U.S. Liberty survivor that's now being held by the Israelis because he was on the flotilla. The Turks have sent a second flotilla. Egypt got angry and opened their border. They were helping stop the flow of weapons into Israel, into the occupied territories. Because, yeah, there's weapons going in. I'm not going to deny that. But they opened up their borders. Code 3 is looking for the pictures on Highway 99. That's what we need. I said the same thing. In fact, the picture in that one article was just stock footage of some Russian on a railroad. But the helicopter's going over. I've seen them with my own eyes. You could hear them. Ran outside. large helicopters flying up, and they were, and then followed by jets. It's kind of weird. I know people think you make it up. I get that all the time. Code 3. The Russian troops. I was hoping that the troops were going to be allowed to get into San Diego and party up a little bit. So I had asked some friends of ours to go out to the bars and look for Russians. They're easy to spot. They dress like 1970s, and of course they have outrageous accents and smoke a lot. So Russians are easy to spot. You know,
how many cigarettes can I get with these rubles?
Rubles. Yeah, they're paying for everything with rubles. But it's enough information for me. But I didn't get all upset. Some people thought it was the invasion. I think they're just here training. We got Fort Irwin, the desert warfare training area. So I don't lose a lot of sleep over foreign troops in that area. I don't like them being here. Yeah, they wear a lot of plaid and like fake leather jackets. I don't know what you call it, pleather or whatever, but vinyl. So they're easy to spot. I've been to a few Russian churches in Fresno, and the women dress like something out of a. It's a little more conservative than like a go-go dancer, but the stripes and the just weird styles, big sunglasses, all that kind of stuff. I hope not to offend my Russian listeners, but you know what I'm talking about. So, anyway, we're going to continue the conversation. Call in if you want to help out. Otherwise, put all the weight on me, and I'll do it. That's fine. We were talking about post-collapse currency. Let me get this. Furthermore, the currency issue post-collapse, you're not going to be able to feed yourself with a brick of gold. You can't eat gold. How are you going to shave off enough to trade?
What if it's a candy gold coin?
Chocolate then you would have already eaten it because you're a glutton and it wouldn't last.
Hey.
So,
I want a chocolate gold coin.
No, you don't get any chocolate. I thought you didn't like chocolate.
Well, I like the chocolate gold coins.
Oh, that's kind of weird. I suppose you want a dreidel next. That's what they get with the dreidel. Get the little gold coins with the dreidel.
So I can shoot it.
One thing that I have always thought about is auto repair stuff, but autos may not have any value after a few months. Once the fuel dries up and people are working on their stabilized stored fuel, they're not going to be making long trips. So I don't know if things like, you get them for your vehicle, but they may not be a barter item. A lot of people have said, I'm going to get extra tires, I'm going to do all that. Those are hard things to trade. You know, how do you place a value on that? And there's so many different things. But things like emergency fan belts, the adjustable fan belts, yes, that might work. Somebody's broken down on the edge of the road. You being a Christian soldier, you say, well, I'd like to give you a hand. But here we go. Here's something. Let's work out a trade. Horses. Code 3 says horses. If you could start breeding horses and had enough acreage and enough ways to feed them, horses are going to be invaluable for a mode of transportation. Bicycles, good sturdy bicycles. I've been really looking into these two-cycle gasoline-powered bicycles. They get about 100 miles to the gallon. Some claim 150. And they're not that expensive to put together. But regular just bicycles. You can stash them. You can hide them. You can continue.
They're man-powered.
They're man-powered. Ride them on the rims when the tires go flat. I used to do that once as a kid. That's how poor we were. You'd ride them at night and hit the brakes and make sparks go everywhere. We wore one down to the spokes one time. Water purification straws and backpack-sized water units. You may pay $80 for a water purifier now, but their value is going to be astronomical to a family.
$1,000.
Yeah, it'd be equivalent to $10,000 maybe, because it's a matter of life and death. Those tabs, iodized tabs that purify water. Buy some for yourself, buy some to trade. Now remember, they have a shelf life. Everything that has a shelf life, you need to trade off immediately.
Except Twinkies.
Well, they have a shelf life, but it's like 37 years. Chickens, goats, whatever you can do. But I'm thinking more generic, because not everybody's blessed like we are to be living in the middle of a former cattle ranch. So it's got to be things that you can stash in your walls and hide. Of course, AA, AAA batteries for a while will have a value. Solar rechargeable systems, they're selling them now. Those little solar, like a box, has a solar panel on it. You put rechargeable batteries in it, stick it out on your back porch. A couple of those might be worth something. Hand crank radios, not necessarily the big ones, but even just little ones, solar powered radios. Anything that's a trinket. You go to the dollar store, and I haven't talked about the dollar store in a while. They've got those Magneto wind up flashlights for $1 a piece. Go in there and buy 5 a month and stash them, and then you can trade them. You need a flashlight? Look, no batteries. Better than nothing, right? I won't even go into ammunition. That's on face. You know, that's a given, ammunition. I think I talked a little bit about that. Think about comfort things. Comfort things that people are going to go, boy, I wish I still had that. I'm not a big fan of tobacco. I don't know how long it stores, but things like coffee, tobacco, tea, things that you can live without, but make that day a little more bearable at the end of the day. Hot chocolates.
And Twinkies.
I mean, look at all the World War II movies. Other than the nylons, look at what was traded. Chocolates, candies, cigarettes, salamis, long storage meats, tinned meats. You see it in all the movies. You read it in all the books. What?
Alcohol.
If nothing else, start storing alcohol. And I'm not talking about getting drunk.
Vodka.
You can use vodka to make tinctures and make medicine. It has many purposes. Code 3 saying hard candy for kids. That is such an emotional booster. When I worked in the fire services and we'd have shelters, the first thing we did is we broke out the toys and the treats for the kids, because the kids will be psychologically damaged by this. They're scared. They see the fear in their parents' eyes when they have to show up at a shelter. You know, fires were taking out, you know, neighborhoods when this was going on back in San Bernardino when I was down there. Oreos, stuff like that, you know, to give to the kids. You know, don't go out and buy a bunch of ground beef and store it, because it's not going to last. And I have to say that, because I've had people say, well, I'll just buy a bunch of steaks. People want steaks. How are you going to keep them cool? I can't believe people actually think like that at this time of the game, but it happens.
Blowing them.
Yeah. The black sheep loves, scotch. Stotch. I don't know what stotch is, but I think it's scotch. Those of you that know how to make hooch, those of you that have done time in the inside, that know how to, you know, whip up some Pruno in the toilet.
White lightning.
Lou likes watching the prison shows, already told you. He's learning all this stuff, so there is some value to it. If you've got a still that will make alcohol, and you have some smaller engines, you can run them on it. You can thin out your gasoline, or spread it out a little bit, rather, with alcohol. Stills, learning how to make a still. Learning how to make homemade wine in a closet with a 5-gallon water jug. I got buddies that are learning how to do that. Wine. Wine is, you know...
Sugar, fresh fruit, a source of light, and...
He's talking about water. The formula for Pruno.
Hooch.
Yeah, hooch. And those things come in handy. And where we are, we've got berries year-round. We can be making blackberry wine to trade with people. And I'm not talking about to get drunk or anything like that. You know, you don't want your guys getting drunk off their butts so they don't serve their duties, but it's good. Yeah, he's learning how to sharpen a toothbrush, somebody said.
No, I don't got athletic tape.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need athletic tape to complete it.
Tarps of any kind, whether they're blue or brown or camouflage, pick them up, store them. You give a tarp to a family of four that's going down the road, you could save their lives. That may keep them dry. That may save them from a night of hypothermia. You know, a lot of these things will be handouts to give to the pilgrims that are going by, the refugees, you know, the people that you're not going to let into your compound. Small compasses, survival necklaces, things that you can trade that are small and but yet still have an application. Fire starters, put together the little orange containers of strike anywhere matches. Those will be worth a fortune. Strike anywhere matches. They're
worth a fortune now.
They're worth I just bought like 3 more boxes of them. It was only like $2.50, but at the hardware store at the Mercantile. But strike anywhere matches. You know, you always see these shows where guys are playing poker with matches or something, you know, because they don't have chips. They're going to be money, folks. They're going to be money. Personal hygiene items, to get back to that, razors. The disposable razors, safety razors, razor straps, straight razors. Something, you know, we're going to have to become the biggest conservationists. We're going to make the green tree huggers look like nothing. We will throw nothing away. We will recycle everything. If it can't be recycled, we will figure out a way to break it down to its base components and use it for fertilizer. Minuteman says sugar for cooking dessert or to sweeten up your oatmeal. It's a great barter. We buy the big packets of sugar and we store them in the Tupperware. Sugar. Buckets of sugar. It's really not that expensive when you think about what it's going to be worth in a war situation or in a disaster situation, for those of you that get scared when I say war. Mm. Means of production again. Gardening tools. Hoes, rakes, shovels, spades. Little potting devices, the little trays that everybody throws away, save them so you can do seedlings in your house in the winter. You know, turn your front window into a greenhouse. If you've got southern facing windows, you may be able to keep those little sprouts going until you can plant them in the ground. You're going to be amazed at what's going to be money. People are going to turn around. Is Stacy in there? Is Stacy in there yet? I don't know if she got in there. I don't see her yet.
No, it doesn't look like
that. We're fortunate enough because of a donation from Minuteman there. We got a ton of parachute cord. We went around and cut it into 20-foot lengths, 12-foot lengths, bundled it all up.
I have it on shoelaces.
Lou's using it for shoelaces right now. I made a bunch of survival necklaces, but we put it in bags. Throw in somebody a pouch that has some of that in there with a piece of plastic, you know, those little plastic drop cloths. Heavy-duty garbage bags. Heavy duty. Stacy's in the room. Welcome, Stacy. Heavy duty garbage bags. They have so many purposes, so many uses. Zip ties. Zip ties are great. Use them to secure somebody. You can use them to lock something up. All kinds of stuff. Sewing kits. Now it's funny. I went to a Sportsman's Warehouse and a sewing kit for $12. That was the exact same one that I got at the dollar store for a buck. Exact same one. Now, the thread's not that good in there, but you've got all the needles, you've got the thimble.
We've seen Big Five do that before.
Yeah, Big Five does that too, the same exact sewing kits. Well, if you don't want to buy a sewing kit, go out and buy needles and thread and put them together in different places. I carry them in my survival pack. You've got to know how to sew, gentlemen. It's not just a woman's thing. I learned because I had to sew patches on in the military. It was too cheap to get other people to do it. Hello, Stacy. She says she sees me.
What's a survival necklace, someone says?
Oh, I'm sorry. Someone asked what a survival necklace is. Very good. On my survival necklaces, it's usually a piece of parachute cord, sometimes braided, you don't always wear it around your neck in a tackle situation. Somebody choke you with it. But in a survival situation, you would be able to put on there, for survival, a whistle with a compass in it, a magnesium strip fire starter, a container that is threaded on here or connected with tape, that holds your matches and some small kindling material. I use lint. I packed it with lint.
Knife in there.
And I always put a knife on it, whether it's a Swiss Army knife hooked through the lanyard or a neck knife. We have neck knives with the hawk bill. Ours are all in our packs. I don't think I have one in here. Yeah, they sell them everywhere. I make my own. But a survival necklace has those kinds of things on there. Not a lot, but it's on you. I mean, it's an added layer of security. If you get separated from your pack, you get separated from your LBE, and, you know, the stuff that you had in your pockets just soaked, your little survival pouch in your left-hand pocket that you put in there with double Ziplocs. Stacy's putting it in there, yeah. And we all three have one. Well, all four of us. Anthony even has one. Swiss Army knife, especially the ones that have a lanyard ring on them, real good. And that way it's always with you when you're in a survival situation. When we go camping, I use it. It was funny when we were doing some, I think it was Team Tactics, which we were focusing on door entry and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden the instructor says, okay, you have 5 minutes to make a fire, go. Nothing. I had the fire starter, all that kind of stuff together, and we did it. And then somebody had heat tabs, so we were able to start a fire. We all worked together and started a fire. Code 3 says, I have the same thing, but I use it as a belt. I don't know if you can see mine.
Batman belt.
Can you see this? when I show it? I've got one on my belt right now. I'll show you the, you know, the contents is, you know, varied.
It looks like a Batman belt.
Yeah, it's a Batman belt. I have a knife, and it goes in there, and it's on my belt, too. So I always carry one around on my belt, too. People, I have an extra mag in it for my 45, and I'm just used to carrying it. When I go out in public, I put the mag in my pocket. So what is this? So we have paracord to make a shelter, you know, if you need to tie up the sticks. I put snare material also in my pouch on my belt. What is snare material, you may ask? It's a heavy braided copper wire that can be formed for the survival necklace. Yeah, go ahead, Minuteman. Go ahead and post what you put on yours. I'm sure I'm forgetting stuff because I'm not looking at mine. But Minuteman teaches survival classes. In fact, we had a survival class up here from him. Why am I getting that crud around
probably
my
has
mouth?
A gun on him.
Yeah, I have an M16 hanging off of my survival necklace. I got a 2-meter handheld radio. It's funny, I have a survival vest that I used to wear that was just like a fisherman's vest. It had a 2-meter radio right here. I had fishing tackle. I had everything I needed in the vest. And everybody would laugh at me. So we got stranded by a flash flood. I was the only one that was prepared. I had granola bars. I had flashlights. I had everything. But whether it's a necklace, whether it's a little pouch on your belt, whether it's a pack at your desk in that drawer where you keep your candy bars, it's good to have these things put together. And more what I was getting towards, we kind of got off the track a little bit, but that's okay. That's the way this thing works. Modern day campfire, remember? Little things that you can put together even in just Ziplocs that you throw somebody. Say, here, I'll trade you here. Look, I've got a little stove. It's got some heat tabs and some liquid gel for fire. It's got some strike anywhere matches. Here's some fishing string and some hooks. Here, you know, here's da 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 da. I'll give you this for, you know, what do you got there? I see you've got a wheelbarrow full of pumpkins, a bunch of white pumpkins. Like Mark Kornke's telling everybody to grow white pumpkins because they store well. So we just get there and trade, and it costs you $5 before the fall to put all this stuff together in a Ziploc. But afterwards, it gets you a meal that would have cost you $20 or $30. Why are you leaving, Stacy? That's kind of weird. Checking out again. I don't know what she's doing. She just ducked in and left. I was looking at simple hardware tools. Those little kits that you can get that they make for housewives. You know, we got one sitting over there. It's got the hammer, pliers, all that kind of stuff in there. You know, a lot of little different things. They're cheap now. You get one for 10, 15 bucks, maybe 20 bucks for a little better one with some wrenches in it. Buy one a month and store them. You know how many people, they'll bend over backwards to get something like that. It's a means of production. And the small investment we make today will pay off greatly tomorrow. And, I was waiting for Minuteman to post all the stuff he has on his necklace. Maybe he's still typing. It's probably going to be like 40 items long. Watch. One heavy necklace.
It goes all around his whole neck.
It's more like a life preserver. So, yeah, that's good. More along those lines. Some of the things that I've done, too, because I always think about the get-out-of-dodge scenario.
The good scenario.
The good scenario. Get-out-of-dodge. G-O-O-D. Thanks. In our cars, we carry, those fix-a-flat cans. Now, if a tire is completely blown, of course, it's not going to do any good. But you pay $7 for this can of fix-a-flat. You put one in each vehicle. Let's say you just have, you know, you got a slow leak, you got a nail in it. This is going to suffice for that. And you don't have to spend 20 minutes on the side of the road digging out your spare and your jack because all your gear's on top of it. You shake the can, put it on, drive down the road, it's full. Those types of things are good. Road flares. I don't know anybody that's ever used a road flare outside of public safety people. But if you can get them and they're cheap, put them in your trunk of your car. They're great for starting fires when it's pouring rain. It's cheating, but it works, depending on the scenario you're in. Plus, they're great for signaling. Oh, yeah, I had a squash that I grew, which stored for 2 years before I cooked it and ate it. Olima says it's great. Referencing back to trading for pumpkins, you know, whatever those are called. Okay, here you go. Here's a Minuteman. I'm going to read it on the air for the benefit of the people that aren't in the chat room. use 550P cord, that's the parachute cord, to make the necklace with. Put on it a Fox 40 whistle, waterproof match case with Strike Anywhere matches, so we're still there, hurricane matches, and the back flap off a matchbook, okay, and a plug of emergency tinder in the top. That's exactly what we got. We don't use emergency tinder. We're using lint. Hey, how come you got off the computer?
Oh, my computer.
Did you shoot it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was weird. It opened something and I couldn't figure it out until I closed everything.
So, yeah, we're still along the same lines there. I'm losing my train of thought here. Why don't we go for the break early? I need to drink some water here and stuff. So go ahead and play the music loop. We're going to be back for the last half hour. Nobody's called. We bent it over backwards getting this phone hooked in. Everybody said... Yeah. Everybody wanted the phone hooked up. So we'll be back after the break. And I'll give you the phone number.
Hardly worth the page it's printed on. The reason is it isn't lawful money. And the truth is stated plainly in this song. Paper money, paper money. It's a federal trick without a treat. It's the source of all inflation and the reasons why your ends don't meet. Our founding fathers wrote our Constitution, which states that only Congress has the right to print up dollars backed by gold and silver, which guaranteed the future would be bright. Then Congress signed a contract with some banksters. This happened back in 1910 plus 3. Well, those banksters said, we'll guard your gold and silver and issue paper money for a fee. Paper money, bogus money, it's been proven throughout history. It deceives you while it bleeds you, as it leads you down to tyranny. So now we've got this private corporation, which calls itself the Federal Reserve, whose purpose was to strangle our great nation and plunder from us wealth they don't deserve. Now those banksters sit on top our gold and silver, then warn us not to practice guile or greed, and then charge us compound interest on some paper, which they print up any time they feel the need. Paper money, worthless money, it's a nation's curse since times of old. Things won't ever get no better till we make the Fed give back our gold. Those banksters talk about a new world order and why the USA should play their game. Well, let's throw those traitors out and lock the border before we only have ourselves to blame. Paper money, funny money, it's a ticket stub to tyranny. Gold and silver is the answer. It will reinstate our liberty. We the people have the power. We can reinstate our liberty. We can reinstate our liberty.
rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hit for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government is the problem.
Is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Pats, Jerry's
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, it didn't work!
Yes, it did. It worked fine. Let me get my other headphone on. It's the last half hour of the Dutch Jones radio program for the 1st of June. June, I have a brother with a birthday in June. I think June 10th is my brother's. I don't know what mental institution he's in now. I got to do a search maybe and see if I can send him some paper flowers or paper roses.
Paper money.
Paper money. We're back. We come to you Monday through Friday here on ubroadcast.com via dutchjones.tk. I encourage you to go take a look at it. We've got a new need up. We've got a new pitch in there. If you guys want to keep this going, we need your support. Our post office box is still open. All that's right there for donations. And we're sending. Just so you know, Minuteman, they shut down our post office up here. So we've got. And my car's been broken during the day. We've got. I'm looking at your stack of DVDs that you ordered. We will get. If Stacy has to take them tomorrow down to Visalia, she'll do it, right? Yeah, she's nodding and she's reading Patriots in the corner. You might want to turn the light on. You're going to strain your eyes. The switch is right there.
Like you guys.
Yeah, because Lewis and I have the same eyeglasses. She wants her eyes to go bad so she can have them. Let's see. Oops, also on the necklace, the United States Air Force signal mirror. Okay, we're continuing on with what Minuteman posted. And a set of plastic laminated survival cards like I handed out at the man-tracking class. We did have a man-tracking class up here that was open to the public. We had a lot of people show up for that. You should also have a magnesium fire starter. We said that. A piece of hacksaw blade. We don't have that. So that's a good one. I had the hacksaw blade for a while, and it was digging into me while I was running around. In your pocket, you should also have a Bic lighter, Swiss Army knife, camper version or better, and a Mylar space blanket, along with a bandana handkerchief. And all of this is of little or if no good if you don't have the skills to use it. You have to practice. Good point. Speaking of practice, this is our practice knife. This is a fillet knife that actually has a blade in there, but we've duct taped it up.
Into a real knife.
Yeah, if I really had to, I could pull it really hard and stab Lou, but right now this is our practice knife because it's bamboo with a hard plastic cap. We wrapped it in such a way that it doesn't slip out, and practice knife. Just a general rule on practice, you can have all the gear in the world. You can carry the best high-speed tactical fighting knife, but if you don't have one of these...
Or a rubber knife.
We're too cheap to buy a rubber knife, so we just converted our fillet knife into a training knife. It's not going to be any good. All the high-tech gadgetry in the world is not going to make you a sniper. It's not going to make you a ranger. It's not going to make you a special forces guy. Just because you have the money to buy it doesn't mean you're going to survive. So I say that to encourage you folks, because I know you're in the same boat I am. This economy is affecting all of us. I can't afford to buy a lot of high-speed stuff, but that's okay. I don't need high-speed stuff to survive. These microphones that we're using, you can't see Lou's. It's a $5 microphone. Oh, don't tap. Oh! These ones are donated. This one here. See, now I'm doing it. But we don't go high-end. We try and find the best thing that will fit the mission. I love the Russian saying, perfection is the enemy of function. Perfection is the enemy of function. You can spend all your life trying to perfect one little skill and forget about the other 90% of things you need to know. You must become proficient in things and you must practice, but figure out what the least amount of materials you need to survive. That way, as you do more, as you do extra, your life's going to be that much more pleasant after the collapse in a post-collapse economy. Every bit of preparation, every bit of training. Now, we still offer the third Sunday of the month trainings here, the one in June, the third Sunday of June. Call us if you want to come to it. Let us know you're coming. You got to come for church service. You've got to sit through chat with us. We want to fellowship with you. Now, these trainings are never critical. They're never missions sensitive or anything like
special
that.
Forces.
Yeah, we're not doing anything like that. We're doing just specific. Like this next one is dealing with heat casualties, identifying heat casualties and treatment. Most training injuries that I witnessed as an MP that I had to investigate were heat casualties or cold weather casualties. And people die from these things. They die quicker than you could ever imagine. When Minuteman was up here giving our class I was just basic survival. He told about stories about people in the Southern California desert that died in a matter of hours. What did Minuteman say? Since they closed, please let me know where to send things to you and Pastor. Well, the post office boxes are still open, Minuteman, but there's nobody in there. For at least a few more months, we'll be able to use them until we get new post office boxes. We're going to have to go down the hill to the other one. So for right now, post office box 31 is ours. And what's the church's? 70.
I
don't want to give it out, but it's in the 70s. But anyway,
put the church website.
Yeah, he just says the church website. He doesn't know the post office box. Someone wants to. Okay, if someone wants to, they can speak out right now for free, like I do. If you don't listen. Oh, well, thank you. 75, post office box 75, Cahuilla, California. That is the church's website. Thank you, Minuteman. So they told us for a few more months we'd be able to use them because most of us paid up. I think I'm only paid up to June. So I think they're going to send us a little thing for another few months. So we got to make sure of that. They'll probably raise the rates too. So we don't have a postmaster anymore. I think we can still keep our zip code. We sent our state representative, you know, for what it's worth, to Washington to go with the postal commission. They blew him off. He flew all the way out there. Devin Nunez from California flew out there, sat outside their office, and it was just like the Japanese emissaries during World War. I swallowed a bug. Excuse me, folks. I got to wash the bug down. And it's time, 6:39 p.m. Noted Dutch swallows bug. It's when the mosquitoes and gnats start coming out. So that thing on the post office box, it's still good for now if you want to send donations. Devin Nunez?
Yes.
You want to know more about it?
Yeah.
It's in the Cahuilla Commonwealth that's out there. Oh, no, that's all I know, is that our congressman went to the Postal Commission. They didn't meet with him, and he had to come home, so now he's furious. And he's the kind of guy, he's a good guy. I don't know if he's Republican or Democrat. I don't really care. But whenever things happen in this district, he's always up there to defend and fight for us against the federal government, so that's good. But, for what it's worth, you know, for a few more months, we can use our mailboxes till they take it down. They're trying to strip the identity of our community. They want us to be folded into Three Rivers and do away with Cahuilla altogether, just because we've been a thorn in their side since the 1960s. And before that, it was communist. Isn't that funny? It's the pendulum swung so far the other way. What are we talking about? Oh, perfection is the enemy of function. Perfection is the enemy of function. Now, a lot of guys want to go out and get the latest, what's that, Digicam now?
Multicam.
They want to get...
put it on their 700.
Yeah, they want to get everything. They want to spend $80 on a t-shirt. You know, and I can, you know, I'm not diminishing their skills, but to me that's waste. You know, $60 on one t-shirt when you can get three t-shirts for $10. I said, but the quality, it won't last. Well, there's a balance there you got to find. Maybe a $30 t-shirt. I don't know what that is. But don't focus on, like, I know people, all they've done, these aren't the people, not like the toilet paper guy, all he could do was buy toilet paper. You know, that's a different situation. But people that are set up and they can allocate 30% a month of their budget to purchasing supplies, they focus on one thing and one thing only. They focus on ammo and weapons. How many guns are you going to shoot? Do you have 90 people you can equip? You know, a gun is going to be worth astronomical afterwards, but who's going to have anything worth trading other than a gun? I mean, bless you.
Thank you.
I mean, it's not like you can go to someone and say, sure, I've got an AR-15. You've got a year's supply of MREs. I want those. Trade. You know, because that's what the value is going to be of a firearm in a post-collapse society. So don't get narrow in your focus. Diversify. I mean, I'd love to have 3 years' supply of MREs stored in the barn here, but you can't do it. I just don't have that kind of money. So instead, we buy a lot of canned foods, dried foods, components for food that we can use to augment our survival stash. Okay, see you, Lost Soul. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. It's good to have you finish. All of Dutch's information can be verified at... there you go. Go ahead. Promoting his website there. It's jamesisaacjr.com. That's James...
Isaacs.
Isaacs. I can't see it. Isaacs. Well, it's in the chat room, folks. It's James... AISAACSJR.com. I hope I didn't butcher that. I'm finding out these glasses from the VA aren't the greatest, but they function. Can't wait to get my scope now. I forgot all about it. See how my glasses work with my new scope when I put it on there on my scout rifle. But and then on the opposite, I know people that do nothing but fortify, like they're not going to go anywhere, and they don't invest in a bug-out vehicle. What happens if where you're living becomes untenable? You can't defend it. The water runs out. Bad operators move into your area and you can't function, even if you have a group. You've put $200,000 into building Fort Knox. Okay, let's see if we can do this.
Hello, I'm calling from A&S Research.
Do you hear that?
Can't hear it.
Why is it so low, Lou?
Are you turned up the right mic?
No, I didn't.
TV stations.
Listen to this.
And newspapers. If you are 18 or older, press 1. If not, press 2.
How about I press no? Oh, that was funny. It was a survey coming in.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, it was a survey coming in. Yeah, you can't hear it because you have to have headphones. So I said you have to come over here and put headphones on. It was some survey. We get all kinds of weird stuff. I had Barack Obama call me earlier to talk to me about volunteering for something. I just hung up on it. So the only caller I got was a cold call from some survey group. All this wire, all this sweat. I had to make a cable. I was 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Duct tape. Lots of duct tape. Minuteman says, food and water are most important than a means to protect your family. If you don't have those basics, you're not going to last long after that. It's your bug-out bags, then a bug-out-ready vehicle in that order. And I agree with that hierarchy of needs. Shelter and food come first. Protection comes second. And then a way to move around, to locomotive yourself, to travel, to move freely about the countryside in a safe manner. And then once you've got that, you don't quit. You set up a second level. Like my first level is a large backpack with a lot of survival stuff in it, with a load-bearing equipment vest with magazines on it, all the stuff I need. My next level is a 3-day patrol pack with a tactical vest. And then I have a whole other level of survival gear that's for a ghillie suit because there are different needs there. But you don't do all of that at once. You'd start with the first level of survival awareness and survival gear, rather. And then you do the same thing with your training. Start out small. Go to survivalblog.com. Survivalblog.com. And you do what you can and learn. I am by no means an expert in this. I can teach certain classes specifically. I can share with you my experiences, my mistakes, my downfalls, my victories. I'm not the end-all. So this should not be your only source for this. At a very minimum, you need to go to survivalblog.com or amazon.com and get the book Patriots. You have to read Patriots. It will motivate you. It will get you on the right foot. No, I've never heard I look like Rush Limbaugh. No one's ever said that. I've had people tell me I look like a fat Val Kilmer. I don't know what that's all about. Drew Carey. I used to dress up as Drew Carey all the time for Halloween and office parties. Or Delbert. I would do Delbert.
I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to insult
you. What? Oh, I don't. My skin's too thick to worry. I think Drew Carey's a handsome man. John Goodman. I've had people say you could be a body double for John Goodman if you weren't so darn short.
I love the Drew Carey
show. Never Rush Limbaugh. As long as you don't say I act like Rush Limbaugh. He's a cheerleader for the Republican Party.
Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah,
Rush Limbaugh.
I don't even know how to, I don't even have a piece of paper here. No, my formerly nicotine-stained fingers.
Ew.
You know how he always does that. I used to listen to him back in the 90s, and I was like, this guy is all about the Republican Party. It's like saying, I want to build a table with one leg. No, it's not. That white bucket in the corner, we need to move that. Everybody. That's a trash can. The water filter stuff's all on the other side of the building. So those buckets there are not food-grade buckets. When we came here, they were disgusting. We cleaned them out. We used them for trash. And then I don't know if you could see the fan back there. Yeah, so it was out in the hall. We were doing some cleaning in here. Lee swept in here, and so we just moved the bucket in here. Because we get a lot of debris, even with all the windows closed. A lot of dust comes in here. Yeah, I've got a screen. I've got screen material. I'm just going to drill it in on the outside of the window. Yeah, same way. But thanks, Sons of Liberty. Hey, you checked in too late, Sons of Liberty. I was going to have what you emailed me about. We were going to talk about that. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow if you've got more information on that. Today I'm just talking about gear, equipment, and an attitude. I'm not really talking about global issues. Talking about just being prepared, being ready to go. As a people, America, have survived a lot. Wars, depressions, political scandals, recessions. I don't think that, what's a recession, what's a depression? Just hard times. Race riots, racial intolerance. Some would say we even survived a civil war. I disagree because I think everybody lost in that war for both reasons. And, both North and South were being spanked by God, although I fall more to the South, as you know. But the email you sent me about a possible survivor of the USS Liberty being on one of those flotilla ships, didn't somebody send it to me with your name on it? So I thought that was you who said you wanted to come on the radio show. I hope you understand what I'm talking about now. Wait for the delay to answer it. I don't think Americans as a whole have the same caliber of character, gumption, grit, whatever, stick-to-itiveness, whatever old fogey words you want to use.
Well, kiss my agree.
There just is not an intestinal fortitude that will carry this nation through even a moderate crisis like we're facing. People are panicking. People will eat their neighbors. People make jokes about, I'm going cannibal. It's not a joke. After a couple of weeks when the food runs out in these big cities, that's what they're going to do. America is no longer the shining city on a hill. Is that your cannibal term? Mm-hmm. Cannibal phrase? So there are a few of us. Some people say 3%. I pray it's more than that, but it's probably only 1% right now. And there'll be others that will be tested by the fire that will come out purified and stronger and will realize they've been living their lives for the wrong reasons and they'll join later. But the majority of these people are going to be nothing but a burden, an obstacle, or a danger to those of us that have been preparing. And I'm not the most prepared guy in the world. We probably have a 3-month supply of good food and the ability to catch food, the ability to plant food. I wish it was more. I made bad choices. I was punished by God for those bad choices. I was punished by society. I was punished by myself. But the difference is I got back up and I kept trying. As soon as I lost everything, the next day, and I'm not exaggerating, I kept moving forward. Olin Mouse says, y'all might want to think about raising chickens. We have chickens. In fact, Lewis and I are going to be feeding the chickens for like the week of the teens for June and the rabbits and everything. It's because Mo used to do it. She used to, yeah.
Is she leaving?
She's going on vacation. So just so you know, they're... we'll all go down and figure out which ones get what, because I don't want to overfeed them. So I volunteered us for that duty. Like the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, something like that. But just so you know, Stace. So chickens, rabbits, goats, anything that can graze, if you live in an area that can graze. Because sadly enough, chickens are great because you can move them around in one of those robo-chicken coops, portable chicken coops, and they'll eat the insects. Move around. Up here, we have to have them in pens. The predation is just too great. Everything from raccoons, bobcats, mountain lions, to birds of prey.
To that
crazy homeless guy down the street that steals chickens. We're going to get him. We're going to get him good. We're going to be able to get... Yeah, we need to start sleeping outside with the rifles and get that homeless guy. No, there's no homeless guy. And if it was, we'd use paintball guns just like the Israelis claim they did.
Shoot him in the throat.
But I just fear that there is no way this country is going to rebound from this.
Nine were dead.
It's probably more than that, Stace.
Well, how can you die from a paintball?
Yeah. Well, it's more complicated than that.
Ridiculous.
So we... I honestly feel in my gut, in my spirit, that we're not going to survive this next one as, you know, 50 states, 48 contiguous states, and, you know, Hawaii and Alaska. But we will survive in regions. We will survive in neighborhoods and everything in between. And then there will be unbearable no man's... You can turn it off. Turn it off if you don't want it. Unbearable no man's lands in between. We're going to go back to the days of the early settlement of the American West. Instead of Indians, it's going to be criminals. You know, and there'll be a positive side to it. And it's going to sound really draconian, but the stupid people are going to die off. And no, I'm not suggesting Darwinian evolution or natural selection. It's just the way things work in God's world. You don't live long when you're stupid in a severe crisis situation. It has nothing to do with natural selection. They hijacked that theory. You got to be wise. And the best way to do it is to prepare now and prepare for the long haul and spend every dollar, extra dollar you have. No, nobody has extra dollars, but every survival dollar you have wisely. You might as well convert it. It's not going to be worth anything in a couple years anyway. At the rate of inflation, at the rate that the Fed is, charging us to loan us money to pay the debt we owe them, every single nation in Europe owes every other single nation. It's like this, I can't even come up with the word, it's like a daisy chain of insanity. What?
Endless stream of owingness.
And it's endless, an endless stream of owingness, yeah. There is no way for us to get out of this. I know I'm not a big financial guru, I'm not a legal guru, but when you step back and look at it, would you apply a little common sense, a little biblical wisdom? Unjust weights and measures, our money is not made of silver and gold, as commanded by God. We chose kings to lot over us, and we have angered God. We have brought upon ourselves as a nation, not as individuals, but as a nation, the wrath of God. At the very least, the lifting of his hand of protection. So, more importantly, I guess the first thing you need to do is get the survival mindset. And the only way you're going to get that is if you fellowship with others. Because you can't do it alone. I don't care who you are. You can't do it alone. It's like being the bully in school. There's always somebody tougher that's going to come and take your lunch money. It is better to bond now. My niece, who I'm having an ongoing battle with that I've told you about because of her new to Christianity belief and what's going on, I said, well, maybe the church you're going to is just feeding you milk when you need meat, or maybe you're not ready. You're just having your ears tickled and being preached to about the soft things in the Bible, not the hard things. She goes, oh, I don't go to church. I just read the Bible and figure it out for myself. She goes, I don't want to count on religion or lies to decide for me. Now, some people say that, but they've also had a history and a background and some kind of training and discernment. But that is ignoring God's will. We are to fellowship together. We're not meant to be lone wolves. We're not meant to be hermits.
That's going to take a lot of understanding.
Yeah. How do you understand it? I mean, there are things... I've been reading the Bible since I was a teenager, first to mock it, then to look for reasons that it was a lie. And then as an adult at age 30, 31, I became a Christian. And now I use it as a guide for life. And I'll read the same verse over and over again in my life, unknown times, and it means nothing to me. And then one day my pastor in a Bible study reads it in context with expansion from good theologians who studied that verse. And it's everything, and I'm just going, wow, I didn't know that's what it meant, because of the old English, the way it's done in the King James. And I'm not denouncing the King James. I think that's the best thing for me to use, because I don't read Latin or Greek.
Hear ye, hear ye.
What was that? That was supposed to be some King James thing.
Yeah.
Don't get it. Don't understand. We have been separated from the Lord's protection. He wants us to come back. But how we come back is up to how you prepare now. How you educate yourself, how you study, how you prepare, how you treat your fellow Americans, even the non-Christians. A lot of people, when I have these discussions, say don't share anything with anybody. We can't live like that and call ourselves Christians. Just start playing the music at 59. Just real quiet and bring it up. We are Christian soldiers. When you were baptized, when you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you were drafted into the Lord's army, whether you like it or not. Now you can be a deserter, or you can be a lazy person who doesn't show up when called. And he hasn't called us a lot, to be honest. He calls us in the everyday duties, the Great Commission, how to live our lives and how to conduct ourselves. But there's going to be a time, I believe, in the not-so-distant future.
Way down in D13.
He's going to call us to stand. And unless you've prepared your mind, your families, and your bodies, and your resources, we're going to fall short. Do you really want to be in that position when God calls you? Where do you want to be when God calls you? Hiding under your bed, trying to dial 911, or standing in the gap defending the weak and the innocent from evil? Well, as for me and my group up here, the emergency response families, that's what we're calling ourselves, the ERF. I really like
that. Keep thinking emergency preparedness.
Yeah. We're going to stand. We've already decided. Now, we've lost some people in the last few months. But that's the purifying process. The Lord is applying a little heat, just like the silversmith does. And I'm not calling him scum, but he skims the impurities off the top of the silver. We need to know where you stand. You need to know where you stand. We'll be back tomorrow. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. And I pray that everything you do to your very utmost in the holy cause of liberty. Talk to you tomorrow, fellow patriots and Christian soldiers. Till then, good night.